Hang on, everybody. We're taking off.
Calling all Andes. Calling all Andes.
Everybody should be listening to this with their headphones on and strapped yourself to their seatbelts because the cosmic spaceship is going off.
Strap
here we
in,
go.
Folks.
This one's called Stress Healing. Just listen and enjoy. We'll be on in a second.
Good thing I'm strapped in or I'd be floating.
Hello, everybody. This is Andy Lopez. You're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic with Andy Lopez and your co-host, Deborah Emerson. As in, I think she likes Ralph Waldo Emerson, right?
That's right, but you like Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
Yeah, I don't know why I like Emerson, Lake. It's easy. I like them both, you know.
Yeah, they're both great. They're both great.
So today, can you hear the music in the background okay?
It's a little low.
Yeah, I don't want to, I want to be able to go low enough to where it doesn't interfere with my superior intellect getting across
it. Oration skills, right?
Anyway, this song is about 10 hours long.
Okay. Now, what is this song called, Andy?
It's called Stress Healing.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Because if I hadn't been strapped in,
yeah,
I would have floated.
And it's geared for actually relieving stress in the human body, but actually I rewrite all my stuff for relieving stress in the garden, stress in plants, and stress in insects, and stress in you name it. That's what it's all about. That's, as a matter of fact, the show should have been called How Stress Relates to Bricks and Minerals and Pests and Diseases. Oh, by the way,
it could be part of the relationship between them, right?
It is. It is. Yeah. We have a winner for our October contest.
Woohoo! Who's that?
His name is John. Hey, John, you're out there. John Herrick from
John,
San Jose,
you
gotta California.
John, you got to call in. You got to call in.
Well, he says he listens to the show, and it would be cool if you call in, John. Tell you what, John, if you call in,
toll-free,
I'll give you the free Mercedes electric car shipped to you directly. Personally, I'm kidding. Don't do that electric car, but I'll figure out something to give you extra because, I don't know if you know what you want, but you want two of my books. You want the black and white version, which is $20. That's the Don't Panic, It's Organic book. But you're also going to get the color version. It's not available anywhere except for me, and I'm not even sure I'm going to sell it. I think the only way you're going to get it is off through winning the contest of the show, be the color version. I had it up for sale through Amazon, and those guys were selling it for $300. I'm going, holy cow. Do you remember that, the $300 one, right?
Oh, God. I think I'm the one that notified you of that.
Yeah, and I'm going, what the heck is going on here? So a third party says, we can sell it whatever we think it's worth, and it's worth $300. I said, So I took it off the market. But I can still print it. I made a deal with Amazon, allows me to print it, and I have the books. I printed up 10 of them. I'm only going to maybe print 100 of them, and that's it. And after that, good luck.
And tell the audience who does the beautiful, really beautifully rendered artwork.
My daughter, her name is Cindy Berry, absolutely magical being. Just today, I finally got her to start posting her stuff on Fine Arts America. Most artists, I don't think anybody will like my stuff. I go, really?
Yeah, her stuff is beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful. So anyway, I've forgotten what I'm talking about. So I covered the contest. Who's going to be on next week? Who's on first and what's on second?
We have a really great guest, Joanna Campe, will be with us on next Saturday, November 10th, and then November 17th. We have Andy. It's all going to be about Andy and his services and what he does as a soil doctor and all of that.
Let me explain.
Explain.
This show should be the I Love Lucy show because I think you're Lucy and I'm Desi.
Let me explain, Lucy.
Lucy, yay! Let me explain. Right?
Explain.
It's true. I feel like I'm Desi. I'm the Cuban guy, and you're the hot blonde. Right? That's what I love.
She was redheaded.
Oh, redheaded. Aren't you redheaded?
Nope.
Well, I'm going to color dye your picture so you're redheaded.
Okay.
Look, I've been doing my business. Oh, I started in the sixth grade. I didn't get the name Invisible Gardener until I got out of the service. And almost immediately from the start, I keyed into the whole, what it's all about. What do you think it's all about?
Soil.
There you go. And you'd be surprised how many people just do not get it.
I didn't get it when I first met you.
Right. These are scientists, professionals, arborists, gardeners, doctors. They don't get it. Right. Everybody's keyed into their own little thing. How can I make money, perpetuate this money thing? Like, in no offense, doctors, but if you're a good doctor, you're telling, well, just stop eating that crap and maybe you won't get so sick. Right?
Yeah.
Like, if I go to a doctor and I say, doctor, doctor, every time I stick my hand in the fire, I get burned. What should the doctor tell you?
Don't walk into a wall.
No, don't stick your hand in the fire.
Yeah, that's right. Don't put your hand in the fire.
Right. So what they do is they take this ointment and you can stick your hand in the fire as much as you want. You just have to keep coming by and buying my ointment on a regular basis. You may have to buy more medicine, because the more you stick your hand in fire, the worse it hurts and pain. No problem. Just get this painkiller and that. Does that make any sense to you?
It does.
It doesn't, right? And that's exactly what's going on in both medical, because I have another show called The Doctor in the Garden, which you're going to have to get involved with, essentially. Originally, I had a friend of mine who's, I still consider him a friend of mine, but the man is a doctor. And he's very, very smart. He does immune systems for the body, right?
Mm-hmm.
Immunology. That's the one. And we both understand each other, because we've been friends. And one of the reasons why we're friends is he loved my book. He understood what we talk about, the soil. And I understand what he talks about, the body. And we both agreed on one thing, that my stomach and your stomach is our soil, right? It's the same microorganism. We evolved from this microorganism in the soil.
Very important.
And if our stomach is not functioning right, we're not going to be healthy.
Our microbiome.
Exactly right. Remember, we had a guest on before, and we have some more people who want to be on that do the microbiome thing. And they're saying, that's the second brain. I'm going, no, that's the brain. The other brain, you may as well call that something else, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's actually the first brain, and then our head brain is the second.
Exactly. And this is the same thing with the soil. And I reached that conclusion right off the bat. I said, what makes things healthy, right? Mm-hmm. What makes a plant healthy? You know, well, you screw up the soil.
Water, sunshine.
Yeah, and?
Soil.
Right. And what about the soil that makes the plants healthy? Come on, tell me.
What was that?
What about the soil that makes plants healthy?
All the microorganisms that live in the soil and help.
You only know that now because I've been saying that, right?
Well, because I learned it from you.
Right, but you didn't know that before, right?
I didn't know. In fact, I was the first.
You didn't even assume that soil was alive, right?
I assumed it was alive, and I used to use miracles.
Yeah.
We get a caller. We have a caller. I didn't even give out the call-in number.
Why are people calling me now? You know why? Because
Kathleen.
I put off so much energy. I can't
just
stop
answer
it.
The phone,
that they pick
Andy.
Up.
Kathleen.
People pick up on it. It's just going to have to take...
Our toll-free call-in number is 888...
Yeah, that's what I wanted you to say. Is give out the numbers for people to call.
6008.
I'm sorry, say it again.
Our toll-free number at BBS Radio is 888-627-6008.
What about the Skype number?
Our Skype address is B as in boy, B as in boy, S as in service, radio,
PR. Okay, I'm going to do something different today. Anybody who calls is an automatic winner. They're going to get both the books, all that stuff. You also, John, you're also getting a lifetime membership, which is normally $55, and you're also going to get, that means you have access to every book. I have 22 books up there. You're going to get e-books. You're going to have access to that, access to the website. I'm going to help you for life. As long as I'm around, you can call me and talk to me. I charge $250 an hour per hour for my consultation, so figure it out. Okay, so what are we doing now? I'm lost. Who are you? Why are you keep calling
our
me?
Show, We have to talk about the relationship between bricks, minerals, and pests, and diseases. And we've already established that it starts with the soil.
Oh, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Well, you go ahead and explain to people everything. I'll just listen.
No. You explain. You explain, Ricky.
Okay. Okay, Lucy. I ¿Yo puedo hablar español? ¿Por qué no puedo decir nada en español? Español es muy bonita lengua. Why can't I just talk in Spanish? Spanish is such a beautiful language. That's what I said. So look,
okay.
I started in the sixth grade. People, you know, I was always doing gardening from my home in Hialeah, Florida. My mom was very into all kinds of stuff. She was my master at that time.
Did you actually grow up on a farm, Andy, when you were a child?
No, I used to go to Cuba and Puerto Rico. They would send me away from, New York. I mean, how do you grow on a farm in New York City?
Well, you were talking about Florida, so your home in Florida.
Right, so when I moved to Florida, I lived in Hialeah, Florida. It's a tiny little place. You know, you have a tiny yards, like 20 yards on a block, you know?
Wow, that is
right?
Tiny.
Mm-hmm. I used to drive out to the country to people's farms to get stuff from my garden. You know, I used to go out to drive to Homestead. I've never actually lived on a farm. That's my dream, to buy a farm. Look, you told me you're worth millions. Just give me a couple of $1 million and buy me a farm already, all right?
And nobody has yet?
I haven't. Nobody's done yet. If I lived on a farm, look, my whole farm experience would blow people away, okay? Because if I blow customers away, they go, what the hell's going on out here? I'm scared. This is ridiculous, right?
Invisible gardener.
Exactly right. That's how. It's part of how I got the name. Did I ever tell you how I got the name Invisible Gardener?
Yes, but let's tell our audience again.
Okay, well, I went to University of Florida. I was already a math scientist then, and I did all kind. I did parapsychology. I studied religion. I studied photography, and of course, agriculture and horticulture. And finally, I kept switching. And the guy said, "Why do you keep switching?" He goes, "I'm interested in all of them." Well, why don't you just do? I forget the name. What they call it? That where you can just major in all of them. You know, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so during the school, I went to college. At night, I had to make money, so I started doing raised beds for people. You know where a raised bed is, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to be the best thing for the plant.
Yeah, so I used to do it at night. The best time for me, so I started, I would start at 9 o'clock at night,
mm-hmm.
and I would build the raised bed for people, two or three or four, because the husband would say, I want you to build a raised bed for my wife, right?
Uh-huh.
So I said, okay, but this is the way it would work. I start at night, and I won't be done until the morning.
So when they wake up, they have this beautiful raised bed already created. That's nice.
And full of vegetables and whatever. And so one lady came out and says, the invisible gardener must have been here. And bam, the name stuck.
Really?
That was 1970. Okay.
Wow, that's a gem of a story.
I said, wow, that's cool. And at the same time, I was working, I was dealing with para something in England. There's a place in England that teaches you how to communicate with the natural spirits and the tree ants and all that stuff. I think it's called Shambhala. So I don't remember. I'm losing my mind, my brain consciousness. As my brain expands, there's all these different personalities take over, and I have a very little bit of room for my own stuff. Anyway,
spaceship descends, and then you're really gone.
Oh, yeah, it's a mess. But so I kept the name Invisible Gardener. I actually owned a trademark to it. I started a church. In 1970, I started a church. I'm actually an ordained minister. It's called Astor's Garden. The church is a charitable, religious, and educational organization. So the charitable is my thing. I told you, I can't charge for doing readings for people. It's free. That's the charitable. I give gems and rubies and diamonds away like water. They come to me and they go. They come to me. People give me stuff and they go. And so the educational aspect was I started the Living Institute of Survival Technology. That's a pretty cool name list.
It is.
And then from that, this lady gave me the Invisible Gardener. So the Invisible Gardener was the business that I put into practice what I teach. I walk my talk. If I say I spray this, it's because I've been spraying it forever.
Yeah.
All the stuff I'm teaching right now, it came from practical experiences.
And we're going to learn all about that in a couple weeks.
Right. So what I'm doing is I'm helping you bypass thousands of years of actually hard work. Learn from me. You'll learn not to stick your hand in the fire. Without having to do that a billion times, right? And then you'll learn, right?
Right, and you always say these hours that we spend on the station here talking are lessons. Actually,
exactly.
Right?
These are lessons, right? That's why I have online classes called Don't Panic, It's Organic. I own the copyright to it, but it's actually a school. Everything I do is a class. And I tell people, look, trust me, I've been doing this forever. I'm telling you, this is the way it works. You don't have to make mistakes. Do it this way, right? So the whole brick thing is, see, when I die.
What is bricks?
When I die, I want to have at least one thing that people remember me by. And I don't want them to think this is a crazy dude. I want them to say, he brought this information to the planet. This is what he brought.
And what is that?
And I didn't bring the information about bricks. I didn't make up the word bricks. Bricks is a measurement of sugar in plants.
B-R-I-X.
X, right. And it's done in the beer business, the wine industry, the juice, right?
Yeah, they measure the sugar in wine, correct?
But exactly, and beer and juice. And bricks is also used for a lot of other things, you know.
Like but, what?
Well, in terms of cooking, in terms of medicine. See, the way you measure bricks is you use a device called a refractometer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're smart. What do you think a refractometer does?
It measures refracting.
Think about it. The word refract, what does that mean?
To tear apart.
Right. So it basically it takes light and breaks it up into these minerals. See?
Mm-hmm.
So an astronomer, one of those guys will look at the stars through a giant refractometer and say that star or that planet is made up of these elements.
Interesting. Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, I knew that. But obviously the gardeners don't seem to understand that. And these people here will, I hate this phone. Not really. It's the same person.
Are you gonna
Nikki
answer
calling. See, this is a friend of mine calling. She knows I do a show now. But the energy is so high, she can't help it. She can't help it. My friends, my family, and those people tuning in. Oh, I sent Cindy. I have to call him now.
Cindy, could you answer the phone?
And they should be answering the phone. I got other people on the other end. They should know better. They should answer the phone. So the thing is that a refractometer breaks things down and actually tells you what your minerals is. And somewhere along the line, because the refractometer for a cook was invented by a scientist. Do you ever go shopping and you want to get the best stuff you can get? Did you ever see your mom? I used to go with my mom and she would take an apple and bite into it, right? That's a good apple. The lady said, well, you just bought that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now what they do, they have slices for you. You can take a slice and eat it, right? Mm-hmm,
yeah,
not good,
not
right?
Every apple's going to taste that way.
So whatever it's tomatoes, whatever. So we have evolved to eat things that are sweet and reject things that are sour, right?
Like
it's
lemons.
Bad. It's a toxic. Don't eat that. It's sour, but it's sweet, delicious. I'll eat it, right?
But we like the combination of sweet and sour.
Only a fool will be out in the woods eating something that's really bleh, bleh, I have to eat this.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with animals. Okay, so bricks happens to also turn out to be a measurement of sugar. And part of the reason that, again, as my scientists tick in, is because the minerals in the sugar.
So when you measure bricks in the soil, you're measuring what? In sugar? What?
No, sweetie, you can't measure bricks in the soil. Soil doesn't have sugar.
Well, I didn't think so, but I'm wondering, do you use bricks to measure soil, to test soil?
Use bricks to tell you if the soil is functioning right. What is the job of the soil? What is the soil supposed to do?
To feed the plant.
It does what?
It feeds the plant.
It feeds the plant. And what does it feed it?
Minerals.
What does it do? Right. What does it do? Go to the store and buy candy and stuff and feed it? It feeds it what it makes, right?
Yeah, it composes it. Yeah, it
composts.
Yeah, the compost is in the soil. Yeah.
No, not compost. The bacteria. The mycorrhiza and the bacteria have evolved over millions and millions of years to take rock and break it down into its mineral component. See, the soil, one of the things the soil does is it's carbon sequestration. Did I say it right? This is crazy, where they take carbon out of the air and put it into the soil, right?
Is that remineralization?
No, that's different.
Oh, okay.
And Water does the same thing. The ocean, they take carbon out of the air and put it into the water through a different mechanism, but the same mineral, same mechanism. It's just different microbes in the ocean. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
The job of the microbe is they take carbon, and the carbon forms a specific acid, carbonic acid. Mm-hmm. That carbonic acid will eat through anything, minerals or otherwise, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have rocks. That's why I call it rock dust, because it's just usually it's a form of rock, and that microbe will attach itself to that rock and take the carbon, form into a carbonic acid, and start to eat away at the rock, right? And what ends up is that the mineral digests the mineral, that mixture, and the poo-poo of the mineral is this the poo-poo of the microbes is this mineral form in a soluble form that the plants can eat. So they have different types of. It's like an army. You know, you have the gunner, you have the guy that flies a plane. You know, all the different aspects of the military, right?
Uh-huh.
They all have different jobs, like an ant colony. They all have different jobs, right?
Yeah.
Microbes all have different jobs. So there's special microbes that live on the hair, root hairs of the plants. Plants have evolved. When a plant is born, it goes looking for this microbe. Where are you? Where? Ah, there you are, right?
Yeah.
Got it? And so this microbe, this particular microbe, lives on the root hairs of plants. And it becomes a gateway between what's in the soil and what's in the plant. That's how it gets the food. How do you think the plant will get the food from the soil?
Yeah, well, most people don't know, I'm sure.
I'm asking you.
Through the root hair of the plant.
Now you know, right?
Yes.
There has to be a connection between the soil and the plants.
Yes.
Trees, everything that grows, all living beings are dependent on the soil. What we eat, where does it come from?
Soil.
Right. So name something you can eat that doesn't come from the soil.
A cow.
Okay, you can say fishes. That's another story. They still, like I said, have a different group of microbes that live in the ocean. So you have ocean, you have soil. Yet the two are connected in a lot of ways. I mean, when's the last time you grew an apple or a tree in the ocean? Right?
Yes.
Okay, so today we're gonna talk about the soil. So as a kid, I said, well, because, you know, I read Organic Gardening Magazine, and I was looking at Rudolf Steiner. Well, I started reading Rudolf Steiner later on, and not in the sixth grade. But in the sixth grade, I would say, well, gee, why? Because people would call me out, my plants are sick. I'm looking at them and go, gee, why are you sick, right? What's wrong? The plant says, I'm not getting any food. I'm so weak. I'm really, really, really stressed out. I go, well, why are you stressed out? Well, those people keep playing weird music. No, it's because the soil is not working. Mm-hmm. There are lots of things that cause the stress. If you get stressed out, you're not going to get your minerals. You're not going to get your food. You're not going to get it.
No, I came your up, body gets run down and sick with your if you're too stressed out all the time.
Yeah, you got it. The higher the stress, and I came up with this in the sixth grade, the higher the stress, the greater the pests and diseases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so... it works with our bodies as long as, you know, it works with plants as well.
You're coming a little bit, you know, cracked up in the voice. I can hardly hear you. Say something again.
Hello, Andy.
Good. Okay, so I realized a long time ago that it's not just, well, so okay, so I did a radio, I started doing radio shows when I was doing a radio show in the service. Did I ever tell you that?
When you were over, Vietnam?
I was in the Armed Forces Radio Network.
Were you? Wow.
Yeah, my show was KNDY. This is my voice. You're listening to KNDY, home of the good guys. How's that?
That's really good, Andy. I had no idea. You sound like one of the guys from PBS Radio who have great radio voices.
I played rock and roll and, you know.
Do it again.
My logo was this. Monkey climbing, you know, King Kong climbing up the Empire State Building, and my show was number one for 2 years in a row, that kind of stuff, you know.
Did you get call-ins then?
I would get calls, this is Captain blah 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 from the submarine, blah 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 blah, could you play this song, and, you know, it was really cool, and I did this one protest, because, you know, we had like 40,000 Marines, 500 sailors, and 50 officers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for some reason, the Navy says, you're all one religion, and this Baptist is going to give you a Sunday thing, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going, excuse me, those people are Jewish, those people are Catholic, those, and I don't even have a religion, I'm Jewish. I'm supposed to sit and listen to this Baptist guy? Why can't we do our own thing? So we protested, right? Mm-hmm. And you know how I protested?
How?
I played Goddamn the Pusher Man on Sunday morning loud through the speakers. Through the speakers, I were playing, and the captain says, Lopez, you can't do that. Sir, you told me I could play the music over the air, but you can't play Goddamn the Pusher Man on Sunday. Well, we're protesting, sir. I'm a Druid. I don't believe in any of this stuff. There's a Catholic guy over there, a Jewish guy, and they have to listen to the Baptist. I talked to the Baptist priest. This is not his fault. The captain says, everybody's going to come and sit there. So the captain says, fine. Anybody can do whatever religion they want to do. How's
wow.
that? Cool. Right. So then when I got out of the service, I immediately started doing my radio show on the air. I'm used to having an audience. I'm used to people calling me up and go, what about this? What about that? What about this? And that's because it was FM, you know, FM, AM, those things.
Yeah.
So I don't know what I'm talking about. What was I doing?
Well,
okay.
We would like to have call-ins, and if you want to call in, please do at toll free 888-627-6008.
What I'll do, too, is if you live in my local area, I will personally come to your house for free. If you don't live in my local area, I'll give you a free lifetime membership. Because that's why I started membership. I can't go to everybody in the world. At one time, I had over 8,000 members. And because I kept switching around, doing around like that, maybe I have 800 now. You know, and that's because I kept switching radio shows, switching around. And people are like, I can't keep up with you. In those days, there was no internet to be able to do the newsletter kind of stuff. Anyway, so I started my, the school in 1970. Mm-hmm. But when I did my radio show, I was talking about minerals.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know about the word bricks or the word refractometer. So this guy calls me up, Leica. You know the camera company Leica?
Yeah.
They make refractometers. I have one that's $10,000 he gave me. I don't have it here in front of me. But it says I have four refractometers.
Andy,
yes?
We have a caller.
Oh, no, I can't handle callers.
Kimberly.
Okay, fine. Fine, give me a caller.
Hi.
Hello, Kimberly. Welcome.
Oh, hi, thank you. I'm calling because you told us to call.
Thank you.
You have a question?
My question is, I live in Florida, and I live in an HOA community, and my grass is terrible. I want to try to revive it. I'm wondering if you give me some tips on what I should do.
I'd love to. In Florida.
Yeah, I'm in Port St. Lucie. We've spoken before, but yeah,
St. Lucie? I know St. Lucie.
Yeah.
It's on the west coast.
Nope, opposite. It's on
the other side. Really? Okay.
Yeah, but...
I'm getting old. You have to excuse me. I'm like 700,000 years old by now. I can't remember which body I'm in anymore.
That's okay.
But listen, before you hang up, give Don at least an email, okay?
Okay.
Because you have just won.
You can stay on the line, Kimberly. You can stay on.
You can stay on, Roger, but you just won my membership. You just won everything that I can give you, okay? You just won it because you're good, okay?
Thank you. Can you tell us what to do for aphids? Thank you so much.
Okay. You know what? You can hang up if you want to, or you can just stay there listening. It's fine with me. I don't care. The show will be rebroadcast, and you can always listen to the whole thing. But I wrote it down here. You have grass, and you have aphids. Okay. So we're going to I'm going to blend this into the talk I'm talking about bricks. You're just going to have some patience. I will get to all this thing, and you understand what's going on. I want you to understand what is going on and what you need to do, okay?
Okay. I'll hang up so someone else can get through.
Oh, great. Thank you. Is Judith?
Okay.
No?
What was Kimberly, it? Cassie? Kimberly.
Kimberly. Kimberly. Yeah. All right, Kimberly. Thank you, Kimberly.
Have a great day, Kimberly.
Okay,
thank you.
Okay. How do I give you my email address?
Give it to Don. Don't just say Don, he's listening in, he'll give it to you.
Okay, I'll stay.
Give it to him.
I'll stay.
Okay, don't hang up. Just say Don, you're there. Don knows you're there. Hey Don, take your email.
Okay.
Unless
Don
went outside to smoke a cigarette. Look, if you can't connect with anybody, just go to my website, invisiblegardener.com, fill out the little inquiry form. Say hi Andy, I'm the lady that called. I'll have your email, I have everything there, okay? Okay,
I think Don got her. So.
Okay, good. So yeah. When I did the show about minerals, because I realized a long time ago, that's what the soil does. It gives food and energy to everything that's living. Like this grasses, the grass, right? Now, grass is man-made. Okay, it's not natural. You don't find it in nature. You find native grasses, right? But you don't find this kind of grass. And so the problem with the grass is obvious. It's not getting the food it needs. The soil. It's growing in the soil unless you have a hydroponic grass, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything. And the aphids. Why do you think that, you didn't say what plants, but doesn't make a difference what plant. The aphids are attacking the plant because it's food for them. See,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's food for them, they're not healthy.
So
right?
What would she do about her aphids?
Right. So I'm going to cover that as part of my talk.
Okay.
Because it says, what's the relationship between brick, minerals, disease, and pest? So the pest, we got an aphid there. See, right?
Yeah.
Right? That's the pest. Right? Mm-hmm. I'm so smart at this. So anyway, when I was doing the show, this guy comes up from like, he says, Andy, have you ever heard of a refractometer of bricks? I go, what is that? And he says, bricks is a measurement of sugar. And we use it for this wine, beer, juice, but you can actually use it on your tree and your roses to measure the sugar level of the plants.
So there's a determined level that a tree should be at with its sugar?
Exactly right. So there's a whole chart.
So who determined that?
Well, see, there's been a lot of studies done by different wonderful people. Most of them are dead. But I have the books and so forth that were printed out by them, and there are any books for them. So they tell you this is a bricks level that your citrus is supposed to be on. This is the bricks level that your apple is supposed to be on. This is a bricks level your lettuce is supposed to be on. I know them by heart. Okay, I know them by heart.
Yeah.
And
okay.
So I expanded it. I says, well, wait a minute. What about roses? What about grasses? What about lawns? What about all these living things? They also have a bricks level that they should be on. Right? See what
yeah.
I mean? And so it was his fault. They said, well, you should test this because the bricks, it tells you the bricks level of the plants. What he meant to me was is that something with high bricks level is healthy.
Ah, okay.
Right? So it means that the sugar is being, something in the sugar is making them healthy, right? And it ain't the sucrose, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the minerals. And what's interesting.
So let's take a rose plant, for instance. So you measure the bricks on a rose plant.
Yeah.
And if the soil has a lot of minerals, the sugar level will be higher.
Exactly. You know what the bricks level of a healthy rose is?
No. What is it?
32.
Huh.
And so
what,
a refractometer,
rose?
If you look through a refractometer, you have a upper part is whiteness, a line, and lower part is black, right?
I guess.
And then on the left side, you have these numbers, like from zero, which is equivalent to where the line is at, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 32, 26, goes up, and then down below, there's no lines, no numbers, because you don't have a negative bricks thing, right?
Okay.
So... excuse me, I said it wrong. So it starts from zero up, and somewhere along there is where that black line will cross,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And that tells you the bricks level of the plant.
Okay. And do you measure through the stem of the rose or through the petal?
No. So the part of the plant, right, there's a part of the plant, like in the rose you have the stem, you have the leaves, you have the flowers, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The flowers happen to be the fruit of the rose because the roses don't produce fruit. But if you were talking about tomato, you would have the plant, the leaves, the flowers, and the tomato, right?
Okay. So do you test the rose hip or do you different roses have different?
Right. So there's two different types of measurements. One, you want to test the fruit, and one, you actually want to test the plant.
Okay.
The plant is the one that tells you the condition, the health of the plant, which should equate to the health of the fruit. But this is maybe a slightly different thing because the plant is like a living being. It's like, and so how it processes food where it gives it to all. So if you test one part of the rose and another part of the rose, and you get two different things, then that rose is having a problem translocating the minerals throughout the plant.
Okay.
And therefore, if it has that problem, you know it's going to have a problem translocating all the minerals to the fruit or the flower.
Yes.
So in a rose, I would test the pebbles, right? Mm-hmm. And then I would test the leaves. Now, it also makes a difference what time of year you do it.
What time of year would you perform?
Because if it's freezing, the rose is not even alive. But if it's really cold, that whole function is a lot less. Everything's based upon...
Well, you'd have to do it in the summer when it's blooming, right?
Yeah, exactly right. So if you did it throughout the year, you'll see that everything changes. Grass, it depends on the type of grass you have. That will be have a 28 Brix level. Now, what that means at Brix level 28 and 32 means that the lower the Brix get, right, the less the minerals you get. And one of the things that's interesting about refractometers, and I'm not the only one doing this, but it's called the fuzzy rule. Fuzzy rule, okay?
A fuzzy rule. Like a fuzzy navel cocktail?
So what it means is, you know that line between the black and the white?
Uh-huh.
Right.
That
if
gray
it's really,
area.
If it's really sharp line, that means it has one or two minerals in it.
Mm.
If it's really fuzzy, that means it has lots of minerals in it. See?
Hmm.
Right?
That's sort of counterintuitive.
No, one straight line means, remember, the refractometer tells you what minerals it has.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a lot of them, it's going to be all combined together. Yeah, it's going to be fuzzy. If it's just one or two or three minerals, it's going to be sharper and clearer.
Okay.
See, right?
Yeah, now that you've explained it, yeah.
Exactly right. So I learned a long time ago to equate the Brix level with the mineral levels. It was a no-brainer. Then I kept saying, well, why makes a difference between a healthy plant, in this case, a healthy grass, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why is the grass healthy in one people and not healthy in another? Well, the lady didn't say, well, she's organic, so I'm assuming she's not.
And we don't know how much she watered it or... Any of the conditional
right.
things.
So the whole key to her to having healthy grass is to pay attention to the soil and not so much the grass.
And if, yeah, too bad she didn't stay on the line, but if you have her email, maybe you can help her.
I will help her. I'm helping her right now.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are.
So I have a book called Healthy Lawn. And it's a healthy pet lawn. Basically, a healthy pet. Because if your dog can run on it and be healthy, your lawn is healthy.
Or your baby can crawl on it. You'd be okay.
Right, exactly right. So in a lawn, people constantly buy lawn fertilizer, right?
Yes.
Kills the soil. Kills the natural bacteria in the soil. High nitrogen inhibits the plant's ability to absorb minerals. Gee whiz.
Which is why if you stop fertilizing, your lawn will probably die.
If you're not getting the nutrients. But if you do an organic lawn, but basically what you will do in an organic lawn is you provide compost, you provide things to the soil, and that's why we make compost. This lady
and
probably never added it.
Would you throw compost seasonally, of course, on top of a lawn?
That's right.
Okay, and then water it in and then get the
right,
soil.
But not all compost is made the same. You go to a store and buy compost in a bag, it's not alive. If it's in a sealed bag, how could it be alive? Get it? I used to make compost, you know, and I one day I put it in a sealed bag. That's how puffed up it would poof, and it literally poof up because all the microorganisms, they produce all kinds of biogas that goes up in the air, and it's just poof, right? Blew up.
Yeah.
Right. So this person needs to find a source. What I do is I say, who's making compost in the neighborhood, right? You know, I joined a garden club. That's why you join a garden club. You share with it. Hey, you're making compost. And hopefully that compost is alive. Unfortunately, people don't make compost with manure in it. Why? What's important about manure?
It has different sort of microorganisms, I guess.
That's right. When I was a kid, I used to go up to Homestead. I would get chicken manure, get llama manure, get sheep manure, get cow manure. I even tried elephant manure. I don't know if I told you about that with the Barnum and Bailey, right? You know, I tried, I get horse manure, cow manure. They all have different microbiological bacteria in their tummy.
Mm-hmm.
And where it works in nature, the animals will roam the earth and poo-poo and die everywhere.
Yeah.
See? Birds have different microorganisms. So if you make compost without manure, you're not making compost.
Well, I'm making bone broth right now, but...
So a minerally rich, bacterially rich compost is necessary.
Yes.
So a lot of times if you buy compost in a store and you can't help it, it's just basically the basic product doesn't have the minerals or the bacteria in it. You have to buy the minerals and the bacteria. That's why I tell people rock dust, compost, and mulch.
Or super seaweed.
Well, super seaweed is a product I invented in the sixth grade. It's an experiment at work. It's one of the most amazing products I've ever invented. That's why I spray people on people's property. I don't spray people. I spray them.
I hope you don't spray people.
Well, I spray myself. Look at me. I'm amazing. Okay, lady, I can see this. I can see Kimberly going, all right, tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. So, Kimberly, their basic problem is that you need to feed your grass some good, rich, healthy food. Forget the chemical lawn fertilizer. Buy a good organic lawn fertilizer. They come with the microbes and the trace minerals and stuff like that would help. But you still got to do something for your soil. No fertilizer is going to help the soil. So you need to aerate the soil. Basically, that means you have this little device that runs up and down, makes a little plugs. Yeah, and then you put your good compost on top. You know, if you can't buy compost, get earthworm castings. Earthworms is a poo-poo of the earthworms.
But is minerally her rich. Andy, is her aphid problem in the lawn?
She didn't say where it was, and no, it's not in the lawn. Aphids don't go after the lawn. She probably has roses or some other plants that has aphids on it.
Okay.
She's going, yeah, hibiscus, hibiscus. I can read your mind all the way over here, Kimberly. Oh, you shouldn't say that. Never mind, Kimberly. It's okay.
Well, you could spray it with something like your organic sprays that you...
Well, here's the thing. People have been taught to... They haven't been taught the law of cause effect. They've been just said... Do this. There's a difference between proactive and reactive. Reactive is you see something, let's spray it. See, right?
Yeah.
Here's a chemical, reactive. Spray it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is, well, why does it have that problem in the first place? You can be spraying and buy the stuff all the time, and actually it comes down to long-term and short-term solutions. The reason why you have a long-term solution is because it takes a while to get everything back in shape again. It ain't going to happen overnight.
You said a year, right? What? Yeah.
Well, a year is you're lucky if you know. A lot of times when I take a customer, a few years down the road, it's when it turns magical. They go boing. Okay. The first year, the soil is like a person who doesn't want to eat good food, right?
Anorexic.
Right, you know. So it takes a while for the microbes to survive. I tell people, look, first time I come out there and spray myself, 99.9% of the microbes are going to die. Right? Every time I do it, it goes up a little more. 99% die. Second time is 98%, right? It's a slow process. At the same time, if I just sprayed it, did nothing to the health of the soil, it won't work. So I have to tell people, you have to do the compost. Gardeners are going, what is compost? You're kidding me. What is rock dust? You're kidding me. Because you need the minerals and you need the compost. The compost has to be alive. So if you get compost and it's no good, and you have to buy the microbes. Nowadays, they have all kinds of microbes. I tell people I basically grow mushrooms on your property, all right? Essentially, because of mycelium. A long time ago, I said, that's a healthy property. I'm looking at this lady, and she said, I'm organic. And I said, I got tons of mushrooms everywhere. I said, what does mushrooms have to do? I said, well, they grow in the soil. Okay. And it's because mushrooms grow on mycelium, and mycelium is what we're talking about here, right?
Yeah.
Right? And so I keyed into the health of to mycelium a long time ago, and I got a variety of products. One of the things we're going to be talking about in my show when I'm on next is, you know, I'm doing the show, What the Heck Does Andy Do, right?
Yes.
And why is it so expensive? It's because I buy stuff from all over the world. I'm looking at this one magazine now, and I'm not going to give this guy a free commercial, but you have tried to get him on as a guest. And if you don't want to be on as a guest, I ain't going to mention your products anymore. Really, seriously, he has a couple of different soluble products that have endo and ecto mycorrhizae. He sells basically mushrooms, edible mushrooms for health and stuff like that. And Paul, if you're listening, all you got to do is just be on as a guest, and I'm happy to mention your stuff. But I'm not going to say anything about what?
Where does Paul live?
Well, you contacted him already, man. You have already contacted him several times. He doesn't even bother answering you back.
Paul Hawkins?
You're not supposed to mention the name. Stop it.
Sorry.
I just mentioned the first name. He makes he grows the mushrooms, and he sells a product that helps the mushrooms grow, and that's one of the things I use to spray, soluble mycorrhizae. But there's tons of soluble mycorrhizae on the planet and market nowadays, and his is one of the best. Simple as that.
Interesting. Yeah.
Right. So What was I talking about? Okay, so you want to get
helping Kimberly with her lawn and her
right. So Kimberly, you have to stop your gardener from applying chemical fertilizers. Period. Then it's going to be a withdrawal period.
We don't really know.
It's going to be a withdrawal period. So if you're used to using cocaine, you got to give them something else, right? You just can't take the cocaine away. Chemicals are cocaine for the soil. Got it? Say, nod your head, Kimberly. Nod your head. There you go. So,
saying yes.
Huh?
Tippy and her are saying yes, so it's okay.
Okay, yeah. So there's a transition period. That's why I say, you know, if you're chemically growing, they give you 3 years of transition before you can be organic, which is BS, because in 3 years you still have all that chemicals in the soil.
Really? Three years is not enough?
No, it's not enough. It's not enough. And then they say, you know, that I'm having this problem. Yeah, dude, you don't even know. I'm not going to go over it because, you know, they have these studies that there's no difference between chemical and organic. Yeah, these guys are not organic farmers. How do they know what they're talking about? They don't. They say, well, I grew in this plot over here, this thing, and that plot over there, and that plot. And they didn't do nothing to the soil. It's like, dude, what? I'm having a heart attack.
Yeah, calm down.
What? Oh, hi. Okay.
Are you okay? You didn't just hang, did you? Okay.
Yeah, I left my body and somebody else was going to come in. He wanted to take over.
I was a little afraid.
I'm not going to let him. So I'm assuming that you're not organic and that the person was dumping chemical fertilizers on it and now it's getting worse and worse and worse. You have to stop that. So you have to start with the organic fertilizers. But
it's winter time. So does she do that? What does she do in the winter when it's
Florida doesn't have a winter time.
The lawns do. Isn't a lawn?
But it's out of temperature. So if the weather is usually very mellow, you can have nice lawn year round. You know,
well, she lives in Florida.
So. Yeah, she can have a nice lawn year round. Give out the phone number.
It's toll free 888-627-6008.
Say something. I'll have to blow my nose.
And you can Skype us questions or comments. You can whatever you want to do to BBS Radio PR.
Yeah, so, and you have to call naked. This is going to be the naked hour from now on. Okay,
so
if you don't want to lose your lawn, you're going to have to do something in addition to just getting the organic fertilizer and putting the compost down. I hope you understand that the root systems of the lawn is not working, the soil is not working, so it'll take you some time to bring it back to life. You have to start inoculating, basically inoculating the soil. And so there are many, many different products on the market. My Super Seaweed would do exactly that. It's called a microbiological activator. You take the Super Seaweed, follow instructions, put a cup pool in a gallon of water, spray their lawn with that. It's called foliar spraying, so the leaves of the grass will absorb the minerals and stuff, and they'll start absorbing, getting healthy. At the same time, the liquid will go into the soil. You spray, soak the soil down. Like I said, the first time you spray, most of them will die. Second time, it's better. Every time you spray, it's better and better and better, and it helps it to recover. See?
And do you do it a week apart? Or?
Well, what I would do is the first week I would spray, the second week I would spray. For a month I would spray that. You can tell it might green up, it might not. You do have to, in conjunction with the application of the organic fertilizer. One lady called me up, organic fertilizers don't work. And I said, yeah, it don't work if you have dead soil. Duh. The organic fertilizers require the soil to be functioning. So even if it has microorganisms in the fertilizer, they'll die, right? Because there's no structure there for it to grow in.
Yeah, hold it, yeah.
Exactly right. So we're trying to rebuild the condominiums for the little microbes. So see what I'm saying?
So you have to keep doing it and doing it until they hold, and then they start.
Yeah, baby, we got to keep doing it until it stays there. So that's what she has to do. She has to, and it's not just my product. You can buy any product on the market. There's lots of wonderful stuff on the market.
Would you
organic
buy something with seaweed in it, Andy?
Seaweed has all trace minerals and stuff that'll help to some extent. That's why my product is called Super Seaweed. I buy five different types of seaweed, and I also use Dr. Willard. He's a scientist who invented a liquid for humans. If it's good for humans, it's good for plants. Willard, W-A-L-L-A-R-D, is for your stomach. One day I dropped a bottle and I came back to the next day my plant almost grabbed me and wouldn't let me go. I go, what the hell happened to you? Right? So I said, okay, good for plants, you know? Right?
Yeah.
And then I add I have 11 different types of rock dust to it. I add this guy's mycorrhiza, tons of sources, all the types of, the idea is have a blend of all those microorganisms in the world I can get my hands on, right?
So if we don't answer her question adequately on the air because she can't, you know, bounce her ideas off of us, she could email you, right, Andy?
She is now a member.
Yeah, all she's she can email you and get a personal answer.
Listen to what I'm saying, Lucy.
Listening.
So she has to go to my website, nbcbogardener.com. There's an inquiry thing. Type in her name, email, phone number, everything. Andy, I won. I'm Kimberly. I'll send her a link that says you have won. She can click on it. It won't do any good if you lick it, but you can click it and then go to the website. It takes you to the website. You enter your username and password. You have, as a member, you can talk to me. You have an organic hotline. You can call me. You can call me right here on the radio show. And, of course, you can email me and say, I didn't get this. I didn't get that. But I think she understands. She has to take better care of the soil. Now, the aphids is the same thing. The reason why there's an aphids is because this tree or plant is already stressed out. It's always a trace mineral deficiency.
But what she wants to know what to do about the aphids.
Right. So first, long-term and short-term. Okay, so the spraying for the lawn is short term. The application of the soil is long term. So the long term, whatever plant is going to help the soil get back in shape. So instead of getting organic lawn fertilizer, you get organic rose fertilizer, wherever the plant is. At the same time, you got compost, you start working on the soil. Usually they're overwatering. If you're watering your lawn too much, bad, you're killing the soil. A lawn should be twice a week. And so the same thing with plants. So when an aphid is attacking the plant, see, she has an ant problem. She's going, yeah, we got ants. Boy, do we got ants, right? An ant problem. Ants hurt aphids like cattle. If you ever look at a blown up picture of an aphid, it's basically a cow. You look at the cow, you know how a cow, you milk the cow?
What?
You never milked a cow?
Yes, I've milked a cow before.
Right, so you know you milk cows. Good for you. So aphids, it's just like a cow. Ants go and milk the aphid. Ants never attack the plant directly. They bring other creatures to do. Remember, they're run by ladies. They're really smart.
So they eat the aphids or no?
No, they milk the aphids.
What does that mean, milk?
That means that, you know how a cow, you milk it for milk?
Yes, I get that analogy, yes. An aphid, I'm not sure how an ant does that to an aphid.
Right, they get nectar. Aphid produces a nectar. It's called nectar. It's a nice...
Oh, and they leave it off in the plant, and then the plant eats the ant eats the nectar off the plant?
Milk the aphids in a blue bucket and take it back to their colony.
Okay, I guess I'm just going to have to excuse myself from this conversation.
See, the ants milk the aphids in a bucket, basically. See, ants have two stomachs. One they eat and one they use as a bucket. They take everything back and forth, right?
I guess, yeah.
Yes, you guess. So
You had an ant farm as a child. I did not.
Ant will milk the aphids for the nectar, take it back to the colony, and do the things they do with their nectar.
Why don't they kill the aphid while they're milking it?
Then they wouldn't have a way to make more nectar. Why would they kill your cow?
Got it. Okay, got it. All right.
Ants are not stupid. They're totally female-run organization. This is wonderful. They bring aphids, mealybugs, usually. And then on top of that, see what happens. And this I don't understand,
because
a female-run,
you'd
think it would be neat. So when an aphid milks the nectar, this nectar all over the place. They get it all over. When they leave, there's this nectar growing on the leaves, and this causes molds and diseases to grow on this sweet mixture. It's called sooty mold. It covers your leaves with this mold. You ever see this leaves black?
I've seen plant leaves as white, and it's really upsetting.
That's a different fungus. They're different types. All funguses love this nectar shit. Mm. See, right?
Mm-hmm.
So short-term solution is there are lots of things you can do to kill the aphids. I'll tell you one simple, really simple thing to do is you take boiling hot water, put it into a little sprayer, run out there as fast as you can, spray the aphids with it.
With boiling hot water?
Yes.
It won't hurt the plant?
No. Why don't you do this? Take boiling hot water, put it in a spray bottle, spray your hand with it. You will not get burnt. You'll feel it be warm, but you will not get burnt.
But the aphid will die.
Yeah, because it's warm enough to raise the temperature of any soft body insect, and it'll die.
Okay.
Right? It's really easy to do, but my biggest problem is running out there. Oh, it's cold already. So this guy invented a device actually in the field that heats up the water and steams it. Hi, Nicholas. His name is Nicholas. Okay?
That's
and he tried
genius.
To patent that, and they wouldn't let him patent it. It's like, it's so simple. It could kill all kinds of bugs and diseases. It's just hot water. It doesn't even burn the plants or nothing. Anyway, that's one of the things she can do. There are a couple other things. Garlic will kill them dead.
Well, I think you should contact Monsanto or Bayer.
No, they say this is all a bunch of crap. But garlic will kill them dead, so you make a garlic solution. There's a product called Garlic Barrier. Unless you have a lot of plants, you can buy the quart of it. You can go to Amazon and buy a quart of garlic berry. Probably last you the rest of your life. I go through gallons a week. I go through gallons. The guy came out and went, oh, I love it, the garlic. Right? He was smelling the garlic. Oh, he's Italian. He put a little salt to it. But garlic will kill the aphids dead. You can go to a 99-cent store, buy a little jar of crushed garlic, put it in a pantyhose, squeeze that thing onto a couple of gallons, spray it. Boosh, they're dead. Guess what else kills them? Coffee. Nicotine. Not nicotine. What's in the coffee?
Caffeine. Caffeine. Yeah.
Kills them dead. Mm. Another way to control the aphids. The reason why the aphids are attacking the plants, remember, if it becomes food for the bug, they're not healthy. Right? And
well,
the
know,
thing
I
is
put,
that...
Andy, I have a question. I put coffee grounds in my soil as you know, like I have like plants on my deck and stuff, and when I have empty my coffee grounds, I just put it into the soil.
Who told you to do that?
I don't know.
Okay,
maybe
so you have to make sure you mix it in, because the reason why you're doing it is because you're making the soil acidic. The soil around here is very alkaline. pH level is very important for trace minerals. The bacteria only live in a certain pH range. On top of that, you don't do organic coffee, do you?
I do. I buy organic coffee for myself.
Right. Then it's minerally rich. One of the best things about organic coffee, it's got all these great minerals.
And the grounds will carry that into the soil?
Well, the bacteria will eat it and break it up.
Okay. Got it. Got
right.
It.
But the other thing you can spray, and we're going to have to go soon, is milk. Milk. The reason why they're you have aphids, Kimberly, is you should take a bath. No, I'm just kidding. The reason why the aphids are attacking whatever plant is a calcium deficiency. And guess what's in milk?
Calcium?
There you go. So you take a cup of milk, one cup of milk to 10 parts water, and it has to be clean water, you know, filtered water, let it sit in the sun or run through a garden filter. The water, city water is full of chemicals, which will kill the bacteria in the milk. It's like, blah, 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 blah. Right? And so the calcium will be absorbed immediately through the plant, and the plant will go, oh, yeah.
I feel better.
And the aphids will go, I'm out of here.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay, I think we're going to get we have two more minutes. So I hope I helped you, Kimberly. And believe it or not, you don't know what you just did, because having a caller really is, I'm here for callers. I can't do this show if people don't call me. I don't like talking to myself.
He loves to answer questions and help people. So call in.
That's the whole thing. That is the whole thing. So I got one caller. I can relax now and go, one caller. Cool.
You made Andy feel at the top of the world, Kimberly. You did.
I've been doing this show on here for over a year now, and I think I've gotten two callers. So, yeah.
Somebody that was looking for a missing person in Mexico once.
Yeah, right. I don't know if I want to count that one once a reading from the lady in Mexico, you know. But I hope this answers your question. This is an ongoing thing, because you're going to learn. You have to learn about that. And you need to talk to somebody, and that would be me. So you're now my member. You can call me anytime. There's a organic hotline, which you'll get. You'll get something back that tells you this is what you do. This is how you can talk to Andy directly at night from 5 to 9, 8 at night. You can talk to me on the radio show. This is what I prefer. I prefer members to call me on the radio show. You're obviously not shy. So call me and talk to me. I think this is getting you on the right path. And, of course, welcome to call next time. Even if I have a guest, and say, well, I did this, I did that, what is going on, right? And we'll keep working on it.
Yeah, give him an update.
Exactly right, because I want to help you with your problem. I tell people I don't do marital problems. But I might, because I have, see, the good old boy wants to just kill the bug and kill the disease. And the wife, he says, I don't care what I use. Give me something and I'll kill it, right?
So the wife. But you help people, check out of life, though, sometimes, right?
Right. So the wife is usually the one who wants to be organic. The good old boy just says, I got to do what I got to do. And the wife says, here, use this. So it's a problem, right?
Yes.
Okay. So who's going to be on next week?
Joanna Campa, one of your
good
friends.
Remineralization, remineralize.org. Remineralize.org.
Yes.
I hope that Joanna's listening, because you always should listen to a show before you come on as guest. It's obvious rule. Okay, we're done. Thank you, everybody. Take care now. Have a nice day.
Thank you for listening.